Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for being with each and every one of us today. Father, please help us understand the fifth word that you said on the cross. And please help us to connect it with all the other words that you said. And please help us to understand how we can change our lives and be better and be a testimony for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'd like to start by thanking our church and our pastor and his family for this wonderful opportunity, as well as Charles Uncle for his continued encouragement and the love which everyone has shown me throughout this time of preparation. So this opportunity is kind of inspirational for me because I remember, I think it was about 2 years ago, where I was sitting right where Nirmal is right now, and Harun came up, and he did this exact verse. And at that time, I was thinking, wow, I wish I could do the same thing. And turns out, 2 years later, I'm doing the exact same thing Harun is doing. And so this really is a thing that I think God really wants me to do for today. And also another thing that I was wondering was, we've been hearing these verses every single year, so what could possibly be new that I could understand? But I did also remember that in Sunday school class, my mom and Preeti and me have continually mentioned that when we were rereading Proverbs, each time you reread it, you learn something new. And that's what I'm hoping we can learn today. I'd like us all to turn to John chapter 19, verse 28, because it captures the entire picture of what was going on at this time. Again, that's John chapter 19, verse 28. It says, "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" In this verse, there are four big words, four key words that I saw as the main focus of what Jesus said on the cross. The first word is everything, later known that everything had now been finished. I first thought, when first reading this, that everything meant a large quantity. But then I looked these four words up, and everything, according to the dictionary, means something that is extremely or most important. The second big key word is finished, later known that everything had now been finished. Finished means completed to the highest degree of excellence. So with the first two words, if I put the definition back into the verse, it means later knowing that something that is extremely important had been completed to the highest degree of excellence. It showed that Jesus fulfilled his Father's work to the highest degree of excellence, even though he had been forsaken by the Father. The third word, the third key word, is fulfilled. Fulfilled means to carry out, to follow, or to satisfy. Jesus satisfied the Father's will, but even though he was forsaken, and he took our sins by himself, and he died for us on the cross by himself. The fourth and most important word is thirsty. Thirsty, again, according to the dictionary, means a sensation of dryness that can lead to physical conditions, but it also means to crave. So with these four definitions, if we, again, insert it back into the verse, it means later, knowing that something that is extremely or most important has been completed to the highest degree of excellence, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled or satisfied, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Now, when Jesus said, "I am thirsty," it is symbolic because the very first miracle that Jesus performed was in the wedding in Cana, where he turned water to wine. My mom shared this with me yesterday, and she said that Jesus turned something that was tasteless and odorless. And I, we heard this in a message a couple weeks back, and he turned it with something, turned it into something with taste. And it really shows the power and the excellence that Jesus had and showed during his first miracle. And so it is significant in this case because Jesus has the power to turn water into wine. But in this case, he was thirsty. And there are two really meanings of thirst. One's a physical sense of thirst, and the second is a spiritual sense of thirst. The first sense, which was physical, really showed the degree of the necessity that Jesus was in. We saw that Jesus had a long walk, he was flogged, he was beaten, and he was ridiculed. It showed his physical suffering. And the physical sign of thirsting and saying, "I am thirsty," showed his physical suffering and how weak he had become. The second sense, which is the spiritual sense, really captures three things, three desires. The first is, it captures his desire for the love of his father. It does this because it says that he was forsaken by his father. It really convicts Jesus because throughout his life, the father was with him. From his young age, Jesus went to the temple to listen to teachings and to be close to his father. And so suddenly being forsaken by his father and being in complete darkness and without light really made Jesus suffer very much in the spiritual sense. So in this case, he was desiring for the love of his father because he was forsaken to fulfill his father's will by himself. The second thing is Jesus' desire for righteousness. If we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, which is the Beatitudes, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Again, Jesus was removed from his father's presence, and he was forsaken. And so he thirsted for his father's love, compassion, as well as the righteousness which he wanted to have once again. And the third and most important thing that Jesus desired for while on the cross was for the love and salvation of his people. In John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." This verse really showed me that Jesus considers us not only as his sons or his heirs, but he considers us as friends. And I know in my life, especially, friends really do help each other, especially in the high school setting. Some people may help each other for projects. Some people might give each other advice. Some older students might give younger students advice on how to do things and choose courses wisely. But when I read this verse, it really did show me that Jesus wants us to be like him. And some people might say, "Oh, how can you be a Christian? And how can you do this?" Like, they might think that some things are contradictory. But this verse really shows that Jesus is trying to help us. He's trying to fill our thirst, which is one big lesson that I learned. We will always be thirsting, both physically and spiritually. And Jesus, through this verse, is showing us that he is our friend, and he will be with us whenever we want, whenever we need him and want him. And so, I know that most of us, if not all of us, have a taste for music. And so, I was looking at the seven words of the cross, and I had an idea. And my idea was, I kind of look at it as if it was a piece of music. Like in my school, I'm in the school orchestra, and we like analyze pieces of music. So I know the Sunday school kids memorized the seven words on the cross, and each one had a theme. The first one was forgiveness, then salvation, then relationship, abandonment, distress, triumph, reunion. And so, the very first forgiveness and salvation in a piece of music, it would look as a happy beginning. In life, we will have happy beginnings. But then, as we grow up, as we mature, we might face, you know, relationship problems, or we might seem abandoned, and we'll be in much distress. And that's where many people are today. That's where many kids and many teens in high schools are turning away from Jesus because they believe that He cannot rescue them from abandonment. But the 6th and 7th verse, triumph and reunion, it really shows us that at the end of the tunnel there will be a light. And in music, like some composers, they have a happy beginning, a sad or mysterious middle, and then at the end, another joyous beginning, a joyous end. And so, while looking at this verse, I am thirsty, that we are at like the middle, that middle point where Jesus is at the lowest point He can be at. He's away from His Father, and He's not only physically thirsty, but He's spiritually thirsty. And so, once again, there are three big lessons that I learned from this verse. The first one is that we will mirror Jesus' journey. When He says that He is our friend, He doesn't mean that I know what you've been through. It means that you will face the same thing that I've faced. You will face persecution. You will be mocked. You will be ridiculed. But I will be there for you. When you thirst, I will satisfy your hunger and thirst. The second thing is, we should not crucify Jesus. We, in our daily activities, most of us are very busy, go to school, go to work, and we often do not find time to read the Bible or to pray every day. And we see Jesus' time on the cross. Even though He was suffering, He still found time to forgive others, to give salvation, to help His mom. And this really shows that we should find time and make time to pray and to love Jesus as He has loved us. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I thank You for today, Father. I thank You for helping us understand what You did many years ago on the cross. And I thank You for helping us understand what it means to serve physically and spiritually, and how You are our friend, and how we should find time on the cross, or how we should find time, like You found time on the cross, to be with You and to love You as You love Your Father. Please help us to remember this in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray.